This is John Weeks, archive broadcast Nature of Things from September 11th, 1987.
Most people are aware, I suppose, that a trip from New York State across the Mason-Dixon line and beyond is like a journey across the seasons. In March or early April, when I've made the trip most often, it's been a journey into spring. Late August or early September brings a reversal, for we start south amidst all the lushness of greenery that a good summer in the Northeast can provide. And our progress is from that to an increasing browning of the weeds and grasses. By the time we have passed the latitude of Washington, there's a real hint of impending fall. As we move along, splotches of gold dapple the sycamores, and the first hint of autumn fire is showing in the dogwood leaves. All this pales, however, beside the growing majesty of the Blue Ridge Mountains to the left and the more distant Alleghenies on the right. We stopped at Roanoke for the night, and it was there that I found the kind of revealing experience for which I'm always searching. About 30 years ago, the people of Roanoke erected a large five-pointed star as an emblem for the city. It is placed on a hill overlooking the city from which it's visible to most sections. A road leads right to the base of this huge star and to the park that surrounds it. The star is impressive, but the real show from that high perch is the nighttime view of this city of over 100,000 souls, sprawling across hill and valley, a sea of lights, its highways and byways pulsing with traffic, like a great two-way circulatory system, arterial flow in, venous flow out. That elevated view provided a graphic definition of what a city is, ecologically speaking. Spread about block on block are the twinkling lights of homes. They represent the great appetite of the city, at once both a consumptive force and a bank of available skills with which to purchase what the appetite demands. Concentrated at the heart and at the outskirts are the large, many-lighted houses of commerce and manufacture. They process the raw materials to produce the finished product of trade. Also apparent in this concentration of many lights, lighted buildings are those which provide for government, health, and education. It's not possible to sort out all of these with certainty, but it also is not necessary. Suffice to say that most are located where they can produce the best service, where needed. As I observed that dynamic and beautiful scene, I couldn't resist comparing the community of Roanoke with the community of nature. Both are interlacing, interacting systems in which energy and goods are cycled. Raw materials and energy in, work and process a steady state in the middle, products, services, and waste products out. But there's a vital difference. In a community of nature, the waste product is not really wasted, but is physically and chemically defabricated to re-enrich the resource base. The community of man has a designed system of entropy, that is, lost or at least cloistered energy, which constantly erodes the efficiency. In man's community, everything dwindles and must be resupplied. Everything that is but waste, and that accumulates and must be constantly removed. The older the city, the greater the entropy, and the longer the lines of transport. Sources of raw materials and sites for disposal become increasingly remote. This problem of transport became more evident the longer I watched the panoramic lights of Roanoke. The problem is not unique to this pretty little city, but it is graphically exemplified by the eye-catching traffic flow. It's a grand combination of pattern and dynamic. There is this illusion of constant reciprocal flow, unhindered to the distant eye by such details as stop signs and traffic lights. The sense of universal flow is overwhelming, and most amazing of all, the internal circulation of the city is not evident at all. All movement seems to be either in or out. There's a simple geometrical explanation for this, but I wasn't concerned with that. There was an ecological message here that spoke more volubly. You see, the life-saving strategy of the natural community is in its internal circulation, the breakdown and return of waste products to enrich the resource base. We have designed such an internal circulation strategy for the community of man. We call it recycling, but as the panorama and lights of Roanoke reminds us, the effects are hardly evident as yet. Hidden by the frantic flow of supply and disposal, still both largely one way, and with no resultant but an increase in entropy, locked up energy. What Roanoke or any city needs is to increase the internal circulation of goods and waste products, to cut down on the erosion of the resource base and the mountainous accumulation of unused waste. I learned that in college almost 40 years ago. just emphasizes the breakdown in communication between the halls of higher learning and everyday life. Cloistered knowledge isn't much more useful than unrecycled waste. That's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.